This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. Julian Crandall-Hollick has produced a number of series for this program over the years, all set in India. Today, Julian begins a new series, a journey by boat down Ganga, the River Ganges. Ganga runs 1,500 miles from the Himalayas to the Bay of Bengal. It is the lifeblood for over 600 million people in India and Bangladesh. Farms, big and small, depend on it for crops. Villages and cities depend on it for washing, cooking, drinking, and to carry away waste. Many worship Ganga as a goddess whose waters will cleanse them of sin and help them attain salvation by carrying their ashes to heaven. Earlier in the year, Julian went deep in the Himalayas in search of the myth and the reality of the origin of Ganga.
Slicked back hair, black leather jacket, Krishna's not some aging rock star, but a hereditary Hindu priest waiting to greet the goddess Ganga here in the tiny village of Berangati now that the snows have melted.
This afternoon, the procession will come up, which has already left, and it will stay here for the night. And then tomorrow morning it will be taken up to Gangotri.
Where has Ganga been all the winter? Which temple?
Mukhyamath. 6 months winter temple.
It's 10 kilometers from Bhairangati in a place called Mukhyamath.
Earlier today I met a group of men crossing a footbridge at Harsal to fetch the goddess. Tonight she'll sleep here in Berangati. But tomorrow is Akshay Tritya when she's reinstalled in her summer temple at Gangotri, where Hindus believe she originally came down to earth.
When should we be there?
From 8 to about 10 o'clock, preparations are done. People have a bath, the deity is washed, the adornments are put on, and the actual ceremony will only begin by around 10:30.
The procession from Harsal's somewhere down below, slowly winding its way up the mountain. Dole and Ransingh are announcing to all and sundry that the goddess Ganga is on her way. We're looking left down the road. Suddenly they appear on our right. They've taken a shortcut through the woods. Two drummers and an old man staggering under a huge curled serpent horn called a Ran Singha. Then Ganga in a covered litter on the shoulders of four young men. Behind, a straggle of young and old mountain folk, fathers carrying children on their shoulders, all dressed in their winter woolens out on a joyous holiday walk. Across the road and up the stairs to the temple, everyone congregates round the small shrine. The four young men reverently carry the two-foot-high goddess swaddled in red silk and place her in her bed for the night. They step back and salute her. Ganga Prasad Sharma, for one, is not hanging around. He's off right now to Gangotri.
I'm going to Gangotri right now. I'm going to stay there the night and be there tomorrow morning. Once the puja is over and once I do my darshan, then I will leave Gangotri and come back.
The others have started singing lustily the entire Ganga Lahiri. The Ganga Lahiri, or Ways of the Ganga, consists of 56 verses by the 17th century poet Jagannathan in praise of Ganga, as her waters rose step by step until they drowned him and his Muslim lover. Obviously apocryphal, otherwise how could he have written it down? Next morning when we wake up, the goddess is long since gone off to Gangotri for her big day. But we make it with plenty of time to spare and sit in the temple courtyard, soaking up the sun. People from surrounding villages are trickling in to stake out their places to watch the ceremony. A suitable moment for Nidish to tell me how Ganga was brought down to earth right here in Gangotri.
There's a king called Sagar.
Sagar wants to be top dog, so he sets a horse free to roam. If no one challenges it, he will be ruler of all the land. Sagar also has two wives. Wife number one has 60,000 sons. Wife number two, just the one. Anyway, the 60,000 sons set out in pursuit of the horse. The horse wanders deep into a forest, stops to chew the grass next to a hermitage where a saint called Kapil is deep in meditation. The 60,000 sons burst in noisily on this tranquil scene.
Now they disturbed the saint. The saint was so powerful, he opened his eyes, and just by opening his eyes, all the 60,000 sons, they were burned down into ashes.
Days turned to weeks, then to months. No sign of the 60,000 sons. Anshuman, the son of King Sagar's second wife, says, "Why don't I go and see what's happened?" So off he goes to Kapil's hermitage and finds the horse peacefully grazing.
And in front of the saint was a huge pile of the ashes. Now he could not understand, but he could smell the rat.
Kapil explains, "They disturbed me, so I burned them to ashes." Anshuman says, "This is serious.
It is very important that the soul of my brother should go to heaven. What can be done?"
Kapil says, "There may be a solution."
"You have to please the mother Ganges, which flows in the heaven. And if the Ganges can be brought down into the earth, then it will wash away all these ashes. And then only the soul will go to heaven. So you have to please the Ganges."
Fast forward to Sagar's grandson, King Bhagirath. He also meditates for many years, successfully.
Mother Ganges said, "Yes, I'm very happy the way you have meditated, but the problem is, if I come down from the heaven to the earth, the whole of the earth will be flooded, and no one will survive."
The only person who can control Ganga's water is Lord Shiva. So Bhagirath goes to see him.
Shiva said, "Okay, what do you want?"
Bhagirath explains what Ganga wants. Shiva agrees, stores Ganga on top of his head, unfurls one of his long locks of hair, lowers her down, and that's why the first section of the river is also known as the Bhagirathi.
And this is the place, this very place, Gangotri, is where King Bhagirath did his meditation. So this is the story how Ganges was brought down to the earth.
And right on cue, the procession enters the temple compound, led by the drums and bagpipes of the Garhwal Rifles. Behind them, the goddess Ganga in her litter, carried by the same four young men. Then the venerable Ran Singha hunting horn, carried by its ancient player. Finally, a never-ending procession of men, women and children. Round the far side of the temple, then up the steps, through the wrought iron gates, the litter is manoeuvred into the inner sanctum of the temple. The crowds fan out, some clamber the railings for a view of the goddess, and then they fall quiet, waiting their eventual turn to go inside and receive prasad, the food blessed by the goddess. VIPs first, then everyone else. And while they wait, the bagpipers entertain them with a medley of good marching tunes. Next to the pipers, a group of villagers are sitting cross-legged round their local deity.
Okay.
These all people, they have come over here in a form of pilgrims. And today they will see the festivities, ceremonies over here, and tomorrow they'll go back to their village and place this in their temple, in their village temple.
They've walked 30 kilometers up the mountain from Kofnal to watch the reopening of the temple and to bathe in Ganga.
They have already taken a dip at 4 o'clock in the morning when we were still in bed.
Runu days come a lot further, all the way from Chandanagar in West Bengal, 1,500 miles to the east.
right in front of my village in West Bengal, which I come from, the Ganga flows. So Ganga is very much part of my everyday life. We bathe in the river, we get water from the river, she provides irrigation facilities for our crops. All these reasons, she's a very important part of our life. We are completely dependent on the Ganga.
Just beyond the temple, an old bell marks a spot where Bhagirath's supposed to have meditated standing on one leg for 1,000 years. Today, Sriram Thapa from Mumbai is toweling himself down and shivering.
How cold is that water?
-1-2 degrees.
-2 degrees,
sir. 2 degrees.
Why do you come and have a bathe in this water?
I believe this Ganga. This name is Ganga. I believe it's God.
How does it purify you?
He's following hallowed traditions, and Sriram Thapa's convinced that his soul will be purified if he bathes in Ganga.
It's a question of faith, really.
Tonight, Sriram Thapa and his family will start back to Mumbai by bus and train. 48 hours, but it was worth it.
I had this desire in my heart to come here and take darshan from the Lord and see the Lord here, and I've done that, so I'm satisfied.
Harish Kumar Singh's also come from Mumbai. He's filling plastic bottles with Ganga Jal, the water of Ganga.
You're taking that Ganga Jal back to Mumbai?
Mumbai leke ja rahe hain.
Yeah. Ji, yes, I'm going to take this Ganga Jal back to Mumbai.
Harish's explanation is a new one to me.
I know about the properties of the Ganga from what I've read in the holy books. And one of the properties, the medicinal properties, I'm told, is that it actually helps prevent diabetes.
And does it work?
His father died at 55 from complications from diabetes, so he's taking no chances. But his own blood sugars are much better since he came to Gangotri and started drinking the water. That evening when it's dark, I return to the temple. Something unusual and very auspicious occurs. A grey dove flies out of the sanctum sanctorum, takes a turn around the temple, and then returns inside. A perfect end to a very special day. Today, the actual source of Ganga is some 17 kilometres north at the edge of the Gomukh Glacier. The glacier is retreating every year more than 60 feet. Probably the victim of global warming. It's a 3-day hike up to Gomukh, hard work but ultimately worth it, and when the sun shines on the snow-covered peaks, one really is in the abode of the gods. From the edge of the glacier at Gomukh, where Ganga emerges ice-cold and vigorous, it's downhill all the rest of the way, in more ways than one. Just 50 kilometres south, Ganga's already dry, dammed and diverted for electricity. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in the High Himalaya.
Ganga is also under great threat from pollution and a rapidly modernising India, whose appetite for water far outstrips the river's capacities. Next week, Julian examines the pollution in the industrial city of Kanpur. Ganga was edited and produced by Tina Morris and Fernando Ruiz del Prado. Nidish Sharma and Aditi Torat were the interpreters. Julian's book, Ganga, A Journey Down the River Ganges, has just been published by Island Press. You can trace the path of the Ganges and read a reporter's notebook from the trip at npr.org.
Ganga is made possible with a major grant from the National Science Foundation.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.